Yeah, so just feeling that illness as part of our lives as well, and that's it's always my niece and I were talking today just about how that's a part of our lives, and it can be a difficult time, and it's just great to be a part of a sangha and knowing that people are having opportunities to send well wishes to other people. Just that we, I feel, don't have to feel helpless as sometimes I do feel. And it's another, just hearing like there's going to be opportunity for metta wishes to be offered to various beings. And I just thought, today I was inspired again to just bring out sharing around metta practice. And so I'll for some of you, I'm sure this will be a review. Maybe for some it'll be whatever it is. My intention is that it benefits someone's life somewhere, somehow, whatever it is that I have to share from my experience with metta and loving kindness. And so, metta is one of the four Brahmaviharas. One of the four divine abodes is how I understand it as a translation. Four places where we can rest in our heart minds and touch into the goings-ons there, the things that reside there. And the first one is metta in Pali, which has been translated as benevolence, loving kindness, well-being, well wishes. Peace or ease. I have a list of other words, just kindness or big-heartedness and goodness or goodwill. And it is a generous gift that we can offer to ourselves and others. And I know for me sometimes, I go, okay, does it really work? And this word's not comfortable. I don't go around saying, oh, I want to give you loving kindness. Now that I've been in the Dharma for a number of years, it feels really comfortable and it makes a lot of sense. But I remember when I first started to hear it's like there was some stuff around being able to love everybody. And that's because the love that I was used to was romanticized, or either it was based on attachment and deep relationships to people that I loved in a different way, as opposed to it just being a quality of heart, a quality of heart, a quality of energy that was beneficial to all, myself and others. And I think that it is something that could be or is needed in this world, and has always been. The old song, what the world needs now is love. Is it love, sweet love? It's always needed love. So we just have to keep on loving as best we can. And the second one is karuna or compassion, right? To care for others or to care for others' well-being. And then mudita, joy. Appreciative joy, finding joy or feeling the joy or resonating in the joy of other beings, and also our own joy, or I like to say the simple joys in life. When I see a hummingbird, I love hummingbirds, and so when I see the hummingbirds, it's just like, it makes me feel really good. And then also, the joy of. Well, I'm anticipating the joy of some rain possibly coming. I know I was just in Massachusetts and the joy of the rain I felt. I was like, oh, I felt like this thirsty Californian on the East Coast. I was like, yes, let it rain, let it rain. And it just brought a sense of joy. And then equanimity or upekkha in the Pali, which is, basically being with what is, or having balance, having wisdom and compassion. And all of these all work together. So I feel like we may focus our attention on one or the other, but they all support each other and they all keep each one in balance or alive, or in a way that keeps it alive and awake in a way that it can be actually manifested in our lives in real terms, in real ways. And so let's see. Jon Kabat-Zinn says that this loving kindness meditation is a radical act of love, and it leads us in a heartscape meditation for deep healing for ourselves and others. And that, again, is something that's needed, you know, to keep ourselves balanced, you know, and it is, I feel that it is really radical. Where's my verse king book? Excuse me, I thought I had my book pulled out here. Oh, here it is. Ruth King, one of my favorite teachers, says this about kindness in her book, Mindful of Race, Transforming Racism from the Inside Out. She says that kindness is the water of humanity. Without water, we harden. Kindness is an attitude, an aspiration, and a practice. It is also core to spiritual life and religions. In the tradition I'm trained in, she goes on to say, we practice metta, which is the Pali word for unconditional kindness, friendliness, and genuine acceptance. She goes on to say that, you know, when we start to speak about metta or offer metta, even as we were offering it to ourselves in our hearts and as we'll offer later to other beings, that it's not a prayer for help. So she says, metta is not a prayer for help from something or someone outside of ourselves. It is not an ego-driven kindness based on possessions, attachment, or grasping. Nor is it overly sentimental. Rather, metta is a genuine desire for all beings without exception to be safe from inner and outer harm, to be healthy and content, and to live with ease. So another thing is that we're not necessarily going to be attached to noticing or seeing or even witnessing the outcome of our wishes for other beings, because they still have their own actions and ways of being to be responsible for their lives. However, us having this good energy, this well wish out there for ourselves and other beings does actually lend to more kindness in the world. And I feel that one reason I continue to offer metta to myself and other beings, whether I feel it sometimes or not, just knowing it, is that I know that all of the negative energy in the world impacts me. All of the hatred, all of the you know, traumatic events, you know, the big, you know, when anything horrible is happening in the world, whether it's the illnesses, the people dying, people getting killed, accidents or acts of nature that cause a lot of destruction, I get really upset. But really it's the intentional, when it's the real super negative ones, the intentional harm that's being caused on beings in the world. When I know I'm impacted by that, and I get tense and I get upset and I get twisted and I start to act in a way that's, you know, not kind either, you know, whether it's just I'm lashing out to myself, you know, saying some words back to the television, you know, I'm impacted by the negative feelings. So I know that if I can be impacted by the negative feelings and the negative energy and all the harm and destruction that's happening in the world with the intention of ill will, then if I put out energy or others put out energy with the intention of benevolence and well-being, that I also am impacted by that. Even as we, if you chose to offer yourself some loving kindness after you checked in with your heart at the end of the meditation practice, I hope you felt some benefit of that, of even just taking, being conscious and intentional around, how am I feeling? And may I be safe and well and at ease. As opposed to, oh, I feel terrible, I shouldn't have done that, and oh my gosh, what a wreck. Maybe I'll try again tomorrow. You know, whatever, you know, those things impact us too. Right? So having the kindness and being able to talk kindly towards ourselves and others, and even if we're only able to do it for ourselves, if we can condition our hearts to be more kind and compassionate ourselves, we will naturally, actually the word radiate, I hear that a lot in the Dharma world, radiate that kindness. That energy will actually be coming off of us and going towards other people, just because we're not walking around with a whole bunch of anger and ill will. And all of them are true. All of them are part of our human nature. It's about when and where and how can we make a choice when we are able to be more kind to ourselves and other beings. And not just the human beings, but all beings everywhere. All the beings, the little beings. You know, the patience, you know, like when I'm taking out a spider, it's like, okay, if it's too small, I might crush it. So I might have to wait for it to grow up a little bit before I can move it on out, you know. And then there's those times where I don't have the patience and I try to catch a little spider and I squish it, you know, and I don't feel really good about it. But yeah, I'll stop there and go on to make another point about metta. So something else that Ruth King says on in her book is the practice of kindness or metta is simple, but it's not always easy. It's simple because they are humble phrases that we offer to ourselves and then extend to others. The practice is not easy because we don't always feel loving or kind. So that's true too. It's not that we walk around pretending or faking the way we feel. You know, we acknowledge the fact that we may not feel loving or kind, and that makes it challenging to be loving or kind. And when we are not feeling loving or kind, she says, kindness practice is precisely what we need. And I know I resist that because sometimes it feels good to be irritable. You know, at least to me, you know, sometimes like, oh, I'm in a bad mood. I could just, you know, keep on roaring and roaring. But kindness is what I need. Can I even be kind to myself in a bad mood? So it's not like I'm gonna try to fake the mood. It's like I'm gonna go, you in a funky mood, Ramona. Okay, all right, I could be with you. I love you anyway. You know, and put some ease to it. Again, I'm not fueling the fire, basically. And metta has worked in my life to support me through a lot of difficult situations. You know, difficult relationships. Yeah, difficult relationships for sure. You know, where I want other people to change, or I may have had a loving relationship that suddenly is going into, it has some resistance and some turmoil. And sometimes, you know, it's pretty great where I'm like, I want it to be loving so bad, but it's not in the moment. I mean, you know, the deep love is still there, but there's this thing up on top of it that gets me like that. That's the only way I can express it. And loving kindness supports me through it. It's not going to change the other person, but if I can realize that if I'm that frustrated and upset and I get tense and triggered, then that other person has some pain and stuff too. So the compassion and the kindness come out and I go, oh, okay. So, can I love myself anyway? Can I offer myself some kindness even for the resistance and irritation and frustration that I feel? And then I can notice that maybe that other person is going through something too. And can I love them anyway? And then I can show up in the relationship differently. That's what I've noticed. They have not changed. I can't change them. Sometimes I can't even have a conversation. I definitely can't say, I need to offer you some loving kindness because some of the people don't even understand my practice. So it's like, that's not going to work. But I can turn into my own heart and well-being and say, I can show up in the relationship with a little more patience and love because I've learned to occasionally check in with myself and be a little more loving and patient with myself. So I show up in the relationship sometimes, more often, without the expectation of the other person to have changed. It's also helped me with getting through, you know, road rage is one of the big ones. I don't have road rage anymore. I used to have it really bad, you know, several years ago, but I literally was practicing metta in the car, you know, where I would say, metta, you know, as I'm like, ah! But eventually I can begin to say, okay, metta for yourself, calm down, be kind, and then say, you know, you don't know what's going on in their lives. And I would literally practice metta in the car. May I be safe, happy, and free when I'm in the middle of traffic or something. And so it eventually, again, calmed me down over time to support me in my reaction. And realizing that love is not necessarily, that I can use a different word. So when I'm applying it to my real life, I can drop the sense of attachment that I have to have with this being. And that I can wish it for all beings everywhere, regardless of what I think about them, their opinions. And it's not a condoning type of love either, right? It's just, if we could all just be well and peaceful and happy, you know, like sincerely happy, content is the word I like to use. Can we be content? Can we be peaceful? Can we be at ease? And there are moments when I feel we can, and there are huge moments when I feel that we cannot. But again, like Ruth King says, that's exactly when I know the practice of metta is needed for myself and other beings. So Aya Ananda Bodhi also says that metta as a practice is like cultivating an open heart. There's a cultivation there where we can actually take our time and be patient with ourselves again to cultivate this quality of being. It's an open heart, she says. It's a she cultivating an open heart towards happiness. Yeah, I think that. One more quote. Larry Yang says, loving kindness, or metta in Pali, is the primal intrinsic energy of the heart that also shares the experience of the present moment with mindfulness, meeting the moments of our lives as they arise with full and accepting loving attention, not needing the moment to be anything more or less than it is an act of kindness. And I think with this quote, it points to what I was speaking about around not changing the way we're feeling, but being with it in a kind way, giving, accepting, and loving attention to the situation just as it is an act of kindness. So it's not necessarily, again, that we're not going to have other feelings, such as anger, envy, ill will that come up, because those are natural feelings in our humanity. But metta and the rest, along with the other three Brahma Viharas, in my opinion, are like a salve that we can use to heal ourselves and support the healing of other beings. And that alone is an act of kindness. So we're doing something. There's a way, it's an action. There's a way that we can act. There's something we can do. And he goes on to say, as we bring loving kindness to bear on the full spectrum of experiences in our lives, that kindness meets all of our 10,000 sorrows and 10,000 joys. And it is said that when our loving attention meets the sorrow and suffering of our lives, our hearts begin to quiver. This is the visceral expression of the experience of compassion, which leads right into, that's the next Brahmavihara. So once we are working with metta and we come into full acceptance, we begin to realize a tender quality, and we care for the well-being of ourselves and the well-being of others. So again, that's how they begin to work together. Now, something that I think is often difficult to do, because the Buddha also has a tall order. The Buddha says, I have it on my wall, because I'm like, that's really a tall order. Even as a mother protects with her life her only child, so with a boundless heart, should we cherish all living beings? I'm like, whoa. And when I think about certain people and situations in this world, I'm like, really? I gotta offer them loving kindness too? And so again, for me, I go back to sometimes I have to distance myself from the personal relationship, from my personal opinions, and really try to get to a place where it's like all, literally all beings. And that's where the stillness comes in, the meditation comes in, where you start to, when I start to connect to the earth, to the elements, to the universe, to realize that I am a part of nature. We are all a part of nature. The Buddha said his right to enlightenment and to awaken was because he belonged to the earth. It was his birthright. Right? So we all have this potential, no matter what our situations and beliefs are. We have this potential. And so I have to, like, get out of the name, get out of the person, get out of their beliefs, get out of what doesn't align with me, and take a deep breath and wish all beings well. So what I really want to share, all that to say, is there traditionally, when loving kindness is offered, and for those of you that I know that have been practicing, you know that we offer loving kindness to ourselves, we offer loving kindness to a neutral person, a difficult person, maybe our benefactors, or and all beings. And so I was recently on retreat at the Forest Refuge, and one of the reasons I like to retreat is that I get reminded about other ways to practice, and I can kind of open my heart and mind up again to be like, oh yeah, wow, or I learned something completely new. And so while I was on retreat at the Forest Refuge for a month, I chose to work on do metta practices or heart practices in the morning, and then I would do like more of a concentration practice in the afternoons. But what I found in this book, it was a Tathagata retreat manual. I don't have the exact quote because I was on retreat and I thought I jotted everything down, but I had yogi mind. So it's from this book. And there was a teaching for metta that for me put a lot of distance between my personal opinions and personalities and beliefs, so that I could really offer metta to all beings everywhere. And I'd like to share that with you at this time. And maybe we will practice with it for a few minutes before we transition into our metta wishes. And so I'll just say what it is first. It was a way, and you all, some of y'all may be familiar with it already, but I just liked the way it was written out, and that's what I did every day for a month. We can offer metta by location. And so, but we always start with ourselves still. And the words that were used in this guide was, may I be well, happy, and peaceful. So we start with location, but we start with ourselves. And then we go, may all beings, like I would say, in this house be well, happy, and peaceful. And when I was on retreat, I was like, may all beings in the meditation hall be well, happy, and peaceful. And then I went to all the beings in all the buildings on the property be well, happy, and peaceful. And then I had to tell myself, all beings, human and non-human, you know, be well, happy, and peaceful. May all beings in the area be well, happy, and peaceful. May all beings in the city, the county, the state, the country, the world, the universe, all beings. So if you'd like, let's give it a try. Just trying it on. And I adjusted it because I adjusted it for myself, you know. And I just feel with the practice, again, whatever words resonate with you, however you want to sort it out. You know, I was doing continents at one point. And then I was like, oh, gosh, I don't even know if I remember all the continents, you know. So and that became a brain twist. So, you know, whatever works for you. It's really the quality of heart that, like Aya Ananda Bodhi was speaking to, that's really important. And that in this way, there was no there are no names in here. I don't have to pick that most difficult person that I have a situation with. I don't have to name them and get myself triggered and tight. They're included. So let's get comfortable for a few moments. Touching into our heart center, maybe taking a breath or two. Maybe even thinking of something that makes you feel good. Like I often think of my dog who's no longer alive, Bella, who just, you know, warmed my heart and really loved me unconditionally so that I can understand what I was practicing to cultivate. And we say to ourselves, may I be well, happy, and peaceful. It works for me to place my hand on my heart or my hand on my thigh or something just so that I can connect and it just feels more real to me. May all beings in this house or building, human and not human, be well, happy, and peaceful. May all beings in this area, maybe you name your town, be well, happy, and peaceful. May all beings in Marin County be well, happy, and peaceful. May all beings in the state of California be well, happy, and peaceful. May all beings in this country be well, happy, and peaceful. May all beings around the world be well, happy, and peaceful. May all the beings in this universe be well, happy, and peaceful. May all the beings, these are my words, in all the universes, in all the realms, known and unknown, human and not human, all beings everywhere, be well, happy, and peaceful. So just notice what it feels like to offer metta in that way. And it's not important that you remember the exact words, you know, you can work it out, your own locations, whatever resonates with you, whatever supports you in keeping your heart open and keeping that benevolence and goodwill and good energy flowing. And before I close, I was looking at my noteboard. Before I close, there's one more way that I practiced during that retreat. Because there's a lot of time on the Forest Refuge retreat. I don't know how many of y'all are familiar, but, you know, you're pretty much doing your own thing all day. And so I had plenty of time to practice. Hopefully it was beneficial. But another way, after I did the by location, I was able to offer it to persons. Because for me, again, my mind gets all caught up when I start to offer metta to beings, even if a teacher says, oh, we're just going to practice, just pick someone simple. I'm like going through the list of people. Oh my God, I got to do them. I can't do them. I can't do, if I do them, I got to do them. I got to do five. Everybody. Yeah. You know, and it's like I feel guilty because I'm leaving somebody out. You know, who gets the metta? So this one was really helpful also when I get all caught up in my mind. And it was really to say we could do it to persons. But again, I could do it to persons without identifying each one. So I could let go of the guilt, let go of the trying to remember every single person in my head that I need to give metta to, and, you know, getting upset because I can't remember everybody or feel in the guilt. And I could just do it to persons. I was like, ah, relief. I think those moments are like liberation for me. It's like, okay, if I ever become enlightened, I don't even know what. Whatever. But the day-to-day relief, the day-to-day liberation of like, phew, I don't have to name everybody in my life. That's liberation to me. That's freedom. That's relief. So we go with persons. So we would say, again, starting with ourselves, and then we mention teachers, parents, relatives, friends, indifferent persons, unfriendly persons, all meditators and all beings. And I tweaked it again because I still had to like work it out because I felt like my parents were teachers, you know, but there's parents listed. So I just gave myself the permission to do what I needed to do to have a benevolent heart and to be not to be so tight. So let's give that a try if you're willing. Taking a couple of breaths and setting the intention. And even if you don't feel anything, you know, you may feel numb, like I know I feel sometimes. So just setting the intention again. Quality of heart. Quality of offering well-being, good energy, positive vibes to all beings, human and non-human, everywhere. May I be well, happy, and peaceful. May all of my teachers be well, happy, and peaceful. May my parents, my words, even though they're ancestors now, may their spirits be well, happy, and peaceful. May all my relatives be well, happy, and peaceful. May all of my friends be well, happy, and peaceful. May all indifferent persons be well, happy, and peaceful. May all unfriendly persons be well, happy, and peaceful. May all meditators be well, happy, and peaceful. May all beings everywhere be well, happy, and peaceful. So that is my offering for the evening. Just metta, different other ways of being able to offer it, and to just, let's just keep offering it as best we can, just as we are, just as it is, and knowing that our intention, our goodwill, will benefit ourselves and other beings, however we say it. Thank you for your practice and your attention. And may my offering be of benefit to all beings everywhere.